James chapter 3, we come to our passage today, and James talking to us about wisdom. And we're talking about wisdom that's from above. If you're new this morning, we're in a series on the book of James, and we find ourselves today, James chapter 3, verse 13. Read it with me. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness and in wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So what James is going to do, and James is going to help us start to list out here in our passages today, from James 13, and we'll go verse through the end of the chapter in two Sundays from now. But what's amazing, James is going to list out the fruit of godly wisdom, and he's also going to list out the fruit of unspiritual wisdom so that we can contrast it and see the difference. But before we get to that, I'll do that in 2 weeks. You have Dave Uyor next week. Dave, preach it, buddy. I'm believing God for an amazing Sunday. You will not want to miss next Sunday. Believing for the Holy Spirit power just to pop in an amazing way. So come expecting. But in 2 weeks, we'll hit the different fruits of wisdom. But today, I thought maybe we needed to think a little bit more about the root of wisdom. How do you and I get wisdom in our life? And this is the reality. It's a critical reality for believers and followers of Jesus Christ. The longer I pass through this life, the more I understand my desperate need and value of wisdom. All the different leadership opportunities God has afforded Pastor Stacy and I, and especially this new season here at Calvary, the value to have wisdom, God's wisdom, to make decisions. This is so vital. So I'm going to ask you today to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I want to talk about the root of wisdom, and we'll do so in Proverbs chapter 2. And as I'm talking, as you're finding your way there, just let me remind you of another Proverbs, Proverbs 24, verse 3, that says this: by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. See, godly wisdom will build the house of your life. Godly wisdom will build you. And we're not talking about a structure that's made out of studs, bricks, or mortar, or logs. We're not even talking a log cabin. What we're talking about is building the house of your life. We need wisdom to build your life. Wisdom will build your business. Wisdom will build your family. Wisdom will build your relationships. Wisdom will build your sense of security. Wisdom will build your walk with God, because wisdom builds the house. See, a lot of people try, unfortunately, and even a lot of believers, build their house, and they're building it the wrong way. They try building it based on how they were raised. They're building it on misconceptions about the Word of God, because they've not been in the Word of God themselves. They take misconceptions, and then they start to also just start to react, living off their reactions rather than being rooted in God's word. Too many believers try to do their life not on wisdom but on rules. It's a dangerous place to be. See, the Bible doesn't say rules builds the house. Scripture says wisdom builds the house. So when you're trying to build your life on rules and try to impose all these different boundaries, you're going to try to keep yourself to rules and enforce boundaries on other people, which will only lead to nothing but frustration. Parents. You watch, it's so easy to watch parents build their house on rules. And they try to parent their kids based on rules rather than the wisdom of God. It's so much better to build your house on wisdom, trust me. Because when you begin to talk to your kids about the rules of your house, you bring the wisdom of God behind it to say, hey, here's the actual scriptural reason why I'm asking you to do this. When you give the moral reason why you have a rule in your house, not the rule itself. When you bring God's word, parents, trust me, you start to bring that. You give your students, you give your kids incredible foundation so that they can make different decisions in any situation. They have a basis of wisdom to develop, to know how they can set parameters for their life that's godly, and they can live out wisdom in every situation that they will encounter and enjoy a life. See, other people try to build their life on money. You can't build your house on money. I mean, the Bible warns us pretty clearly about this, that money is the root of all kinds of evil. See, money does not build the house. And when people try to build their life on money, what happens is money becomes their master. Rather than being their servant, but wisdom builds your house, and wisdom will help you and I know how to handle the issue of money. Well, when we get to Proverbs chapter 2, the wisest man who ever lived gives us some insight into wisdom, so let's begin to read it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Settle this into your heart. God gives wisdom. James reminds us in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given. See, God's a giver of wisdom. He wants to give us all wisdom today. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you a little wisdom test. It'd be about this normal time of year in my former life, my past life, as an adjunct professor at Evangel University. I'd have been getting my syllabus done, loading it up so prospective students could already start to see their book list that they had to do, that they had to read. They could start seeing their assignments. In fact, they could log in on their account and start seeing all the different dates would start popping up on their student calendar. I'd be doing that about now. So I'm in teacher mode this morning. You ready? So today we're going to do a test. We're going back to school. And I just ticked off the youth group because they're not wanting to go back just yet. But we're going back to school today, and so we're going to do a little wisdom quiz. So get your papers out. In other words, flip your bulletin over. Let's take some notes. Because today I'm going to ask you some questions. So this is a pop quiz. So don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at their sheet. All right? You can't cheat. So all the rules of exams apply. So no looking at your neighbor's paper. We're taking this wisdom test to evaluate if you're living in godly wisdom, if wisdom has a chance to build the house of your life. So I'm going to ask you 7 questions this morning, all based on Proverbs chapter 2, but starting off in number 1, here's the question, the first one. What words do you receive? And this is so fitting coming out of the message Pastor Stacy so eloquently brought us last week when we're talking about the tongue. And words are spoken. What do we do with the words that are spoken to us? What words do you receive? We need to evaluate and ask ourselves. But look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. So in other words, what are you listening to? What are you putting in? You've heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. So what are you putting into your heart and into your mind and into your soul this morning? And literally, the words that you receive, the words you receive will empower your life. Did you hear that? See, the words you receive are going to be the words that empower your life. And that is the matter, the true matter of the fact. People can say all kinds of things, but it's only the words that you and I allow that we receive are the ones that we empower. See, I can give you a gift, and you can write return to sender on it. I'm not receiving that gift. See, when we receive it, good or bad, it really affects our life. So those words that have been spoken in frustration, those words that have been spoken of limitation, those words that have been spoken over you that have been words of hurt. Here's the deal. Words of anger. What happens is then they live with us the rest of our life if we've received those words. We've taken those words to heart, and we're letting those words dictate the boundaries of our life when God had a whole different boundary set for you. And this is an amazing wisdom test that we need to understand, that the words we receive will really empower our life. This is why you have to be very, very careful who you hang around, who you hang around with, because you will become like the people you hang around with. Are you around believers that are believing God and wanting God's best, not only for you, but really for their life as well? This is why a church family is absolutely critical. And I just encourage you to be into a church as often as you can. When you start to flake out at different moments, just because of you don't give proper priority to being a part of the church, you will miss out. Because trust me, unless you're built into a church and you're developing your relationships with each other, you will miss out on the wisdom that God wants to bring. Wisdom is careful about the words it receives, because words you receive are the words you empower. Question two. What treasures lies within you? Look at verse 1 again. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Here's the fact of the matter. You and I live life from the inside out. What's on the inside will determine in a large degree of how you and I will respond to life and to every circumstance that we have. Ultimately, what determines our response is what's on the inside. Somebody says something to you, you blow up and you get angry. That's going to determine a lot of what happens from then on, right? What is on the inside comes out. If somebody says something, rather than getting angry at them, a gentle answer turns away wrath. See, I'm convinced a lot of people experience what they experience in life is about 10% what happens to us and 90% of what happens in us. What we have inside, what directs the course of our life, what are we treasuring? Do we have godly wisdom in our heart that'll determine the outcome of our life? What's in me determines the quality of my marriage. What's in me determines the quality of our relationships. What's in me directs how I'm going to spend my money. Where am I going to spend my time? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What treasure is in you? Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. The things that are happening in life are just an outworking of what's in our hearts. So we want to have wisdom, and we need to treasure it. Look at Proverbs 2, verse 4. You seek it like silver and search hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. Having God's wisdom is like a treasure. And if we find it, we can find a place for it in our hearts. How do we get our wisdom into our heart? How do you get it into your heart? Well, you have to treasure it. Do you take time to get into God's word? Do you take time to be in his presence, to listen to him? Or do you just rely on Sunday mornings to do it? If you just do this, you are so far missing. You're below a line of a standard that God wants you to have, because he wants you to be able to be in his presence even more than what you experience on a Sunday. He wants to meet you in your house. He wants to meet you. You know what? You could be at lunch at work. You could be in the middle of a heated meeting at work. And guess what? God's going to drop his word, his presence into your heart at that very moment. that'll help you to respond, to live out in incredible ways, that you could change a situation, you could change a culture at your workplace. But that'll never happen if we don't treasure it. Do we treasure the moments with our God? Because what you treasure will be in your heart, and what you value will be directing how you live. Third question, how you doing so far? All right, so here we go on our exam, question three. What captures your attention? Look at verse 2. Make your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. What's capturing your attention? Do you realize that wisdom is calling out? Do you realize that wisdom is shouting? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Even as mine's breaking, I sound like a middle schooler. Wisdom is raising her voice. And then we see it again, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Incredible. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. In other words, at the intersections of life, at the crossroads of your life, wisdom is crying out. At the very heated marriage dispute that you're having, and usually it's probably on the car on the way here. We just cover it up and smile as we're walking up the way, right? But in the intersections of life, guess what? Wisdom's crying out. It's speaking. God's voice is speaking. Are you listening? The question is, are you paying attention? Because wisdom is there. And what it means to hear it, when you hear it, it's just not that you're just paying attention. It's that you're hearing the voice of wisdom. It's lining up your life to that wisdom that's being spoken. You know, a lot of people want wisdom. They will look at other people's life. Thank you. A lot of people will look at other people's lives and go, I wish I had what they had. But unfortunately, they will not take the step to line up their life like that other person has. They want all the benefits, but they do not take the efforts to line up their life. Wisdom is no respecter of people, but you need to ask. And I want you to notice some progressions in our passage this morning, because if we will line up our life, then the question is really, are we going to take responsibility to line up our life accordingly? But I want you to know one single word in our passage is really powerful on this. So let's go all the way back. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice and understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. See, if you do the ifs, guess what will come? Look at verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth and come knowledge and understanding. If. And Proverbs doesn't stop there. Solomon doesn't stop there. You look at verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. What is it that determines what you're going to do with your life? What is it that determines how you're going to live? Is it wisdom? Are you paying attention to wisdom? A fourth question that we need to ask. Which way do you lean? Which way do you lean? Oh, the water's so good. Which way do you lean? Look at verse 2. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. The last part of that verse is inclining your heart to understanding. So which way do you lean? Which way do you lean? And is this really important? Because the way you lean, you need to know this, the way you lean is the way you're going to fall. So the way you lean is the way you fall. So if I'm leaning at the edge of the stage, guess which direction I'm not going to fall? Pretty obvious, isn't it? The way you lean in life, the direction you lean is the direction you'll fall. And it's a challenging part for us that we need to get right, to understand God's words. And here's the part we need to understand too, is not all of God's words are just positive. In other words, there could be some negative implications if we don't follow through with this. I mean, you don't have to read very far into Genesis before you come across a statement regarding the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God says, if you can eat all of this, but now if this one tree, if you eat it, you'll die. That's pretty negative. It's not like, hey, you just get a slap on the wrist. It's like, no, you're going to die. Pretty straightforward. That's pretty negative. And yet, here's the deal. If you're a person who's a pessimist today, if you're a person who's negative all the time, and that's how you lean in life, guess what you're going to get? See, and this is always a challenging part for me. So you just need to know when I'm saying that, I'm pointing it back to me. Now, I'll be honoring my mom this Saturday. And so part of my mom, and this is what makes my mom, all right? So this is like, it's mom. Like, I can't say all these good things without even also saying this. My mom was a pessimist. And some of it is the culture of Western Nebraska, because you don't have to, I mean, it's farming culture. Let me give you an example. Rainstorm comes through, classic words from a Western Nebraska person. Well, we could have used more. You know, there's no gratefulness to it. It's like, man, we could have sure used more, or boy, that was way too much rain. Man, I can't get into the field, and they will just, some cuss and complain. And my mom was that way. She lived her life. The glass was half empty, not half full. And I will just challenge you on this as believers, especially as we are embarking on a new season that God has for Calvary Church. If you're leaning on a negative way, you know how hard it is to live a life of faith when you're negative and pessimistic? It is nearly impossible. Because here's the part. You rob yourself of hope. You rob yourself of joy that God wants to bring. So when you lean in, that God's going to give me wisdom regardless of what I'm going through. This is why the whole series of other tests that James has been giving us brings us to this point to go, you know how to keep passing all these different tests? You need wisdom. How do I guard my tongue? Wisdom. But which way are you leaning? Are you leaning in towards God's word, to his voice, to the wisdom that he can bring, that he will give you the wisdom that you need in the situation you face? Regardless of the situation, no matter how dark or deep, God will give you the wisdom that you need. But too many of us fall back on the phrase, well, that's how I was raised. Thinking that, well, this is just how it is. This is just how I am. You just need to know you can break those chains today. Which way are you going to lean? Which way are you going to live? Which way are you going to trust? Are you going to lean towards the wisdom of God and allow that to affect every part of your life? And what I'm telling you, look, I'm not suggesting that you will never have a problem, but what I am saying to you is you'll negotiate it with the peace of God. You'll negotiate it with the presence of God, with the power of God. God will either give you the grace to go through it, or he's going to give you the power and the deliverance and deliver you from it. Either way, It's an incredible, wonderful place to be. But lean into God's word. Fifth, what do you discern? Look at verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Insight is a beautiful gift. It's the ability to discern, the ability to read a situation, to look beneath the surface, to go beyond the mere appearance of a situation and see underneath. See, there's a lot of people who make poor decisions because they've not called out for insight. Here's the way it works. I'm going to speak to these singles in the room and those watching online. You could be looking, especially teenagers, they're looking for that person they can date. They can look at this person and say, I can see the girls go, oh man, look at those arms on that guy. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, isn't he cute? The guys, man, isn't she hot? Ho! And they can just, for guys, they don't go much beyond that. Man, she's hot. 5 more minutes later, man, she's hot. Man, she's a hottie. And I mean, they get stuck on it. But here's the part. There's more to it. And you know what? God will give you that person. Trust me. God will give you that person that's hot. That, girls, God will give you that guy that, well, hey, look at those arms. Oh, look at him. You know what? But are you digging beyond the surface? Are you going beyond that? How does he treat his parents? How does she treat others in her family? Are you watching how they make decisions? I watch way too many singles do this. They'll just sit there and think, oh, you know what? God will somehow work it out in her life or his life. And here's the deal, and especially for girls. Women, if you think that one day he'll just magically all of a sudden become the man of God that'll lead you, if he's the way he is now, just because you get married, it just doesn't magically shift just because you're married. Wisdom. Discern. How do you discern? You start looking, because guess what? There's a track record there. Insight will help us with the trajectory of our situation. Insight and discernment will help us in our way that we spend money, the way we live our life. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride, arrogance, corruption, and perverse speech. Also look at verse 14. And a sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. In other words, people know how to lead and make wise decisions. People will know how to set up boundaries in their life. People will know how to do all kinds of things when they have wisdom. But do you have wisdom? Have you asked to be able to discern? Number 6, we're almost home on your test. What are you asking God for? Look at verse 3. Yes, I call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Are you asking God if you need wisdom? The good news is that if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it accordingly. We looked at it earlier, James 1:15. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. I love the way the Message version puts it. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. It's so straightforward. He loves to help. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescended. Isn't that great? Half the time, that's why we have the pride we don't want to ask, is it's like, I don't want to be shamed. That's why, even when we sang it earlier, when we're saying, yes, Lord, I'm putting away my shame because I can go to the Lord, because I can approach him. Are you approaching God? Are you asking God to give his wisdom to you? But that verse goes on, you'll get his help. And you won't be condescended when you ask for it. Ask boldly. believingly, without a second thought, God will give it to you. He will provide it. James chapter 4, verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Because you don't ask, you'll go to other means that God does not want you to do. Some people are just waiting for wisdom to fall out of the sky. Guess what? It's not going to happen. You've got to wait on God. You have to ask God. If you need answers, go to the Lord. Look at Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How you live your life determines how you will hear from God in your heart. And you know, if you're not receiving his word, if you're not treasuring his word, if you're not paying attention to his word, if you're not inclining your ear or your heart to his word, if you're not walking in discernment, you could ask all you want at this point. You're probably not going to get the wisdom that'll build the house. You have to build your life on wisdom. Seventh, what are you searching for? In life, what are you looking for? By and large, I think people do. You get what you look for. You may not think so, but I think of a lot of people that would just love, and sometimes I've played this fantasy game in my head, maybe you haven't. Man, just to win that $1 million scratch off. Man, if the $1 million, some benefactor just said, guess what? Here you go, $1 million. Am I the only one? I mean, there's just moments you just go, it'd just be cool. Somebody just randomly dropped $1 million at the front door. You know, and we play that game a little bit. Man, I'd buy this, I'd pay this off, you know, and oh, I could do that. See, and what's sad is some people actually foolishly go down the road of doing different things to that just leads them down a path. They're doing foolish things when they could have actually done with wisdom investing. They could have gotten $1 million. They just didn't want to work at it. They didn't want to set priorities. They didn't want to be wise. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. If you seek like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So this idea is really putting yourself into this just like silver. Silver is not just laying around on the ground, all right? You got to work for it. You got to mine it. It's where you got to go where silver's at. So you got to go to Mexico, Peru, Bolivia, Canada, the mountains of Colorado. I'll be close this next week, but I probably won't get there. You have to be where it's at to get it. So if you want God's wisdom, you've got to dig it out, but you got to be where it's at. You have to work and implement this into your life. You have to work it through in your heart. You have to work it through in your mind. You have to work it through in your business. You have to work it through in your life. Silver, you've got to dig for it, and it's rarely found in nugget form. It's usually a combination of other metals, and so you have to, with the ore, you have to melt it. It has to be heated to separate the metals out and a refining process to get to the silver. So are you doing that with God's word? Are you doing that in his presence, that you treat it like a treasure, but you're going to seek it like silver? Then I'm going to dig in, take away the ore and the other metals, and let God do that in your life, a sifting, a melting, so that we can become the men and women that he wants us to be. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Whatever you get insight. The Message version says this. Above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. In other words, the first thing, the last thing, the main thing is that I would have wisdom. Because wisdom builds the house. So my question today for you is this. Is wisdom what you're looking for? So let me give you a question to chew on over the potluck besides the pulled pork? Let me give you a question. If the worship team would come, here's the question that I want you to think on today, throughout this week. Is wisdom one of the things you ask God for every day? So I pray tomorrow when you get up, ask yourself, is wisdom what you're asking for today? On Monday. And then ask yourself on Tuesday, God, I need your wisdom today. I don't know what's going to come across the desk. I don't know what's going to come across in an email. I don't know what the phone call is going to be. But whatever life directs, is wisdom going to be of God the thing you're going to ask for? When you realize this part, you never know what life will bring. The calendar will bring a whole lot of things out. But I know one thing. All we need is God's wisdom, and he will get us through. When Solomon was asking for wisdom, he was asking for a discerning heart, a listening ear. God, give us that, a listening ear, an inclining heart. Because here's the great thing. If we do not do that, guess what you're doing? You're doing life on your own. And God never created you to live life on your own. He designed us, created us, that we would be in a relationship with him. In fact, to the part that we would depend on him. Are we depending on his wisdom? Are we depending on his presence in our life? Because here's the great part. Our God will show up to match the faith that we give. Are we paying attention? Are we asking for a discerning heart? See, there's nothing better than wisdom. Wisdom will guard your life. She will make your life better. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. In other words, wisdom will take you where nothing else can and make life better than anything else you can imagine. That's wisdom. That's the root of wisdom today. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you will help us to walk in wisdom today. More, God, I pray that there are people today, either here or online, but God, frankly, they're living their life foolish. Foolishly, they're divided. They're trying to serve you, and they're trying to serve money. They're trying to serve you and trying to serve their mate. But God, I pray you help us to listen to godly wisdom, to your voice. May we hear your voice. God, I pray the wisdom that you brought in your word today, as it cries out, can we hear it? God, I pray we don't fail the wisdom test. The 7 questions we've asked, God, enable us to answer it with the right motive, but also with the direction and the action. And that activity in our life, may it just flow with your wisdom flowing through our life. Help us, God. Give us wisdom. If you're here today and you're not actively leaning on the Lord, if he's not your leader guiding your life, if he's not the number one way or person that you trust for salvation, you need to know you're leaning in. You're leaning towards a direction that when you fall, it'll be away from God. It's away from his provision. It's away from his voice. Any part, you're falling away from him, and he wants you to be able to fall into him regardless of what life brings. But the question is today, where are you at? So whether you're watching online or you're here, and if you would honestly look at yourself and go, man, I am not tuned into God's wisdom at all. My leaning is towards myself, not to the purposes of God. Here's the moment where you can make things right, whether for the first time, or maybe you just know you need to rededicate your heart and your faith to him. You can do so in this very special moment. And it begins with a heart and a prayer that I encourage you to follow, if this is you, to do so in this moment. And I want everyone to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for wanting to give me wisdom. And even more importantly than that, a relationship with you. Forgive me of my sin, trying to do things my own way. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be my sovereign, my leader, and my Savior. I give all my life to you. Direct it. Create a new life in me. I give it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you make sure that you see Pastor Stacy and I or Pastor Aaron? We would love to give you a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, we'll give you some other additional resources. And make sure you make good on seeing us, because we want to be able to help you to walk the new race that God has placed you on. For all of us, would you stand? Before we go into our time of potluck, I just want us to take a moment that we really reflect on this. Is wisdom something I am asking for? Am I searching for it? Am I asking God, I need your wisdom? I need your power and your presence in my life. Are you seeking it? That as we worship, can we just take that time? Because it goes back to even the word we heard from the Spirit earlier. Here's the great thing. God's not saying this to you condescendingly. He's saying, are you going to trust me? Give. Don't come in fear. Come. Receive. Can we do so? Can we do that this morning as we close out in worship? Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness, your greatness being on display today. And Father, we respond to you. We respond to your word. We respond to your words in the Spirit today. And Father, may we seek you. Give us the wisdom to direct the course of our life, to transform our life, transform our hearts, our minds. We ask this in Jesus' name.